Amen. Amen. Wow, I'm loud. Okay, let's go. All right. They control me back there in the box. Okay. Hey, good morning, everybody. Wasn't that cool to have the little kid voices say good morning? It's like, oh my gosh, we need more children to speak in this church. That was refreshing. It was like it broke something. Thank you, Kelsey. That was cool. And thank you, kids, wherever you went. It's Pentecost Sunday, you guys. So what that means is that there's absolutely no plan to the rest of the service. We're just going to let Holy Spirit come in, do what it wants, and see what happens. All right? Okay, anybody want to preach? We can do that. Got a song you want to sing? Oh, no, you're all going, come on, no, that's not. But what if we did do that? Like, what if that was what a Christian gathering was? Like, okay, a bunch of Christians get together and we say, let's see what happens, right? Well, Caleb, stand up and sing a solo. I feel the Lord is saying, and you're going to say, I don't feel, no, right? Would you do that? Could you do that? No, I don't.
Could.
You could. Yes, you could. You won't, okay. All right, just, we're clear. Oh, Caleb, oh, man, what a great son-in-law, huh? You know? Oh, because of my, oh, it's not the son-in-law, it's the pastor. I have no authority over you in church as your father-in-law, only as a, okay, all right, we just got this clear right now. All right. You guys need to talk later. You need to straighten him out, Bethany. No, you, yeah. Oh, come Holy Spirit now. Right? Let's pray. Let's pray about that. Let's pray. I've got a message, okay? So, but, you know, God can interrupt it. God can do what he wants to do. This is his church. It's not my church. It's his church. And the Holy Spirit's real. So, Holy Spirit, we want to just come to you and say that we acknowledge your reality. We acknowledge you from the very beginning and to the very end. The Holy Spirit of the living God, third person of the Trinity. And your role that you've played in our lives. And so first of all, we just all want to, everybody, would you just tell Holy Spirit thank you for all the things that Holy Spirit has done for you? The Holy Spirit has led you. The Holy Spirit has guided you. The Holy Spirit has filled you. The Holy Spirit has done so much in you and through you and for you. Oh, Holy Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me. Fill me. Use me, Spirit of the living God. Do it all up, all again. Let's do that. Let's pray that. Let's all pray for the Holy Spirit to come all over again, right? Spirit of the living God, do it again. Yeah, fall afresh on me. On me. Fall afresh on me. Yes, do it again, Lord. Do it again, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. What you did on that day in the upper room amongst the disciples of Jesus of Nazareth, God, could we ask that you would just do that again? Do it again in this room on these followers of Jesus of Nazareth. Come again. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Fill our hearts. Amen. 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 Pentecost. It's, you know, it's a funny word, isn't it? We kind of get the idea of Pentecost from the name of the word the day, Pentecost being five, penta, and it's from the Greek meaning 50th, because it was the 50th day after Passover, and that was something that the Jewish people had set aside as a day to celebrate, that 50 days after Passover, that's the day of Passover is one day, and then there's 7 weeks. So it's also called the Feast of Weeks, or Shavuot. And it was the time when they were in the wilderness, right? Because 7 weeks out of Passover would be right through the Red Sea and out into the wilderness. And what the old rabbis taught was that it was actually the time when they ended up at the foot of Sinai. So that the Feast of Weeks, the 7 weeks after Passover, was there they were at Sinai. So it represented then, as time developed, it began more and more to represent the giving of the law, the Torah, on Sinai, the covenant with Israel. And became, for the Jewish people, one of the most important days of the calendar year. And we don't quite understand that, because we have just kind of taken that over, that this was not originally a Christian, you know, day that we set up. It was a Jewish festival that follows Passover every year. And that's why Pentecost will be on a different date every year, because like Easter, it travels with the lunar calendar rather than the solar calendar. And so it shifts up and back and up and back. And today is that day where, it, believe it or not, it's been 50 days or so from Easter, 7 weeks ago. And so that's why the Jewish people are celebrating Shavuot, at 7 weeks out. We're at Sinai, we get the Torah. I want you to listen to a quote from a Jewish rabbi talking about the day of Pentecost, which is not the day of Pentecost for him, it's the day of Shavuot, the day that we're calling Pentecost. It's Rabbi Chaim Minter. He says, "This day of all days is the most important day in all eternity. All creation was made for this day. It is the day that makes us Jews. To receive Torah and to share Torah with the world." And so we see the importance of this. I want us to get the weightiness and the gravity, you know, of this day, that it is the day that makes us who we are. The day that God brought us together and said, "This is who I am," and written on tablets of stone, "And this is who you are, and you will be this, and I will be this, and we will be in covenant together," right? Okay, and this was the day that we found out. This is who we are. We are the people of the Torah, to live the Torah, to bring the Torah to the world so that the whole world can glorify our God. And that is the day that God chose to release his Holy Spirit upon the church. This was not an accident. This was not, oh, did it fall on Pentecost? Oh. This was purposed. So that this day, the prophecy of Jeremiah 31:33, that I will make a new covenant with my people, and I will write my law, Torah, upon their hearts. And I will forgive their sin and hold them, they will be my people. Go to the next verse. You got it. All right. This is beautiful. They will no longer teach their neighbor or say to one another, "Know the Lord." These are the people of God. They're not going to say, "Michael, you should know God," because Michael's going to know God. What he's saying is, what Jeremiah is releasing here is that it's not that the people are going to know about God, they're going to know God. My people will know me from the least to the greatest, declares the Lord, because I'm going to forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. So that's the day of the new covenant, where it's going to be written on their hearts and put in their minds. And so what happens is this: where Torah came on tablets of stone, Holy Spirit comes and writes it on our hearts in fulfillment of this word. So that it isn't that I have to sit down with Michael and say, Michael, listen, we got to go through Torah again because I don't know if you're getting this. It's like, Michael, listen to the Holy Spirit. Listen to what the Holy Spirit's telling you, Michael. And it's in there. It's in there. I know him. I know him. I know God. That's the dimension of the new covenant. And so that's the comparison between what's happening here and the day being chosen as the day of Pentecost, the day that we're celebrating the first fruits of the winter harvest. Originally, it was the celebration of the first fruits of the winter harvest. And the book of Ruth is written about, it was always read on the Feast of Shavuot, so that we remember the harvest in Ruth and the kinsman redeemer. And here's the day that the first fruits, listen, the first fruits of the kingdom to come are being released on the earth, and the evidence that the Holy Spirit is the first fruits of a whole new world that's going to be full of all these things. Wow. So we go back to last week with Chad Brewer and his amazing J-Balloon. Thank you, Chad. That was awesome. For those of you who missed it, we had an ascension take place in the church. We couldn't get a life-size statue of Jesus to go up. We tried, but it's too heavy. So helium balloon in the form of a J replaced that and went up into the ceiling and then came down again. But on that day that Jesus ascended into the heavenly realms, you remember Chad teaching us that he sat at the right hand of the Father and all authority was given to him, right? All authority. And he said, he made a promise to his disciples at the end of Luke and on the day of that he ascended, he said, you know, have you ever watched those videos that say, wait for it? That, you know, they're showing you something, it's getting kind of slow, and there's a little, you know, a little thing on the bottom that says, wait for it. So you're supposed to hang in there, and you're, okay, so I guess something exciting is going to happen, so I'll wait and I'll watch. Jesus was saying to his disciples, wait for it, don't go anywhere, don't get bored, don't get, you know, right, hang together, stay in the city, and wait until you receive the promised gift from the Father, the power that I'm going to release upon you. I'm going to release a power on you. And he uses the word dunamis, power. It's where we get the word dynamite from. Wait for the explosion, because it's only then that you'll be able to be my witnesses. You can't do this without that. This is important. This is very important, you guys. It's like Jesus is saying, don't try to be the church without this gift from the Father, the power gift of the Holy Spirit. It's the same thing that Moses said when he was leading the people into the promised land, and he said to Yahweh, don't take us into this land without your presence going with us, because if your presence doesn't go with us, I'm not going to go. I'm not going to go if your presence isn't going with us, because without your presence, how will they know that there's anything different about us than all the other nations of the world? Each nation claiming its own God. And that was when God came and showed him his glory. And the same thing Jesus is repeating to the church, to the disciples. He's saying, guys, don't go out and try to be my witnesses unless you are doing it under the power that's not yours. It's a power beyond you. In your own strength, it will fail. But in my strength, I will build my church. God made an absolute promise. I will build my church. Okay? And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That's set. That's done. That's forever. God's coming. He's going to build his church, and it's real. And he said, I will, not you. He said, I will build my church. Watch me. Participate with me. Come along with me, right? and in my power, you will be able to do these things. And so we go back to ascension, and then we see Jesus saying this to them, and then they get together in the upper room in Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly the sound like a blowing of a violent wind. Now, I want you to note that they were inside a room, and it may or may not have been windy that day. There's no association here with a powerful wind blowing. Nothing says the wind was blowing, and the papers were flying off the table, but it was the sound of a violent wind. Anybody been in a tornado or close to it? Anybody? Some of you? Okay. They always talk about it sounding like a train, right? And I imagine something like that in the room, except the wind's not blowing. It's like, what is this? What is this sound? It sounds like a violent wind, but the wind's not blowing. And they hear this, and it's 10 days later, okay? Wait for it, right? The wait for it that Jesus said when he ascended, wait for it. It's 10 days later. They've all been in the upper room. He appeared to them as a resurrected body for 40 days. And then the last 10 days makes the 50 days. It's Pentecost. People have gathered from all over the Mediterranean, all over the world. All of Israel comes to Jerusalem to celebrate the Shavuot, the harvest feast. And I don't know what time in history it really developed that they decided that it was 7 weeks, and that's when they were at Sinai and they did that. But the giving of the Torah. And it's like, here we all are. These guys are sitting there, and this wind comes down on them. All right, they're sitting in the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven. All right, it's the sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven, filled the whole house where they were sitting, and they saw that. Now it wasn't literal tongues of fire. Okay, so nobody went away with burned heads, like some of us look like we have. But it seemed like, all right, it seemed like tongues of fire that separated. So something was glowing, something was shimmering, something looked like a flame, right, over Barb's head. And everybody was wondering, what's that on Barb? You know, while at the same time seeing that Barb's saying, wonder what that is on Tom, right? Because we can't see ourselves, but we can see, and it's like, what's happening with everybody here, right? They all have what looks like flames of fire on top of them, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And so now they're all coming out with languages that they don't know, that they've never been taught, and they don't understand a word of what they're saying. And they're just all, and it's all at the same time. And it just sounds like babbling. It sounds like confusion, and because everybody's speaking all these different languages, and there's all these languages in the crowd of people around them. And it's the crowd of people around them who said, they're speaking my language. They're speaking my language. No, they're speaking. And they heard people actually speaking their language and praising God. They were all praising God. They were giving glory to God. That's what they were saying. They didn't know they were saying that. They're just making sounds. But they were all praising God, and everybody heard that, and it was like, what is going on? And then the Holy Spirit came on Peter. He's filled with the Holy Spirit, right? Peter, now remember Peter, who denied Jesus, Peter, who's been reinstituted, right? Daryl taught us about how he got back, the three I love yous. And he's back, and he's there, and he's kind of the leader, you know, of the group. But all of a sudden, he stands up with this boldness, and he starts to preach. And I'll cut to the end here. The net result is of all of this that as he preaches, the people were cut to the heart, not because he was so wise or eloquent. You can read his message. It's not like there was something extra special in it. But that people were cut to the heart, and they said, what do we do? What do we do? I said, repent and be baptized. And they were. And 3,000 people gave their lives to Jesus that day and established Christian community from that point forward. And there was a promise that was made by Peter at the end of his sermon. Not all of his sermon is in here, in fairness to Peter. And actually, it's actually an awesome message, as I've learned the more and more time I've spent with it. But he says, You repent and believe, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, even in Peoria, Illinois, for all whom the Lord our God will call. It's a special edition of the Bible. It's the Peoria edition, but it's in there. Because it is in there, you guys. It really is in there. It's implied in there. And the truth is that in that text, it really is saying, this promise this gift that you're receiving is promised for you and your children and your children's children and for people who are far away, far off in time, far off in distance. Wherever the gospel is proclaimed, this will follow. This will be part of it. Now, here's what I want us to grasp, is that the potential for the Holy Spirit to come in power right now in this room, this morning, is as much as it has ever been in any place in all of history. The Holy Spirit is not waiting aside to think that, you know, like, well, today's not the day. No, the Holy Spirit is always ready to come at any time. Just like in our food pantry 2 months ago, Randy's praying for a lady for her shoulder, right? Because her shoulder's hurt. And it gets healed. She just came for food. She got something else, didn't she? She felt so good she went out and did yard work, carrying 30-pound bags, and re-injured it. So she goes to the doctor. The doctor says, well, I can give you a shot for that. And she says, no, I know a place where I can go. It's okay. And she came back to the food pantry the next month. Randy prayed again and got healed again. Well, She came into the church last week. She was great. She came into the church. The doorbell rang. Leah went and got it. And here comes Leah with this lady. And she says, hey, where's that guy who prayed for me? Well, he doesn't live here. And she said, it doesn't matter. Anybody can pray, but my daughter needs prayer. Yeah, wasn't that cool? And I said, well, we can pray for her. I'll give Randy a call. And can she come in on Thursday? Yeah. So she did. She came in on Thursday. And Randy and Mary, thank you both so much for praying. But we prayed, and I tell you what, God just really showed up. Holy Spirit was ready. Holy Spirit was ready to minister to her. Holy Spirit was ready to touch her. And as her tears poured down across her face, I just said, God, you are so good that you would allow me to be a part of this. It's always ready. Always ready. Come, Holy Spirit. Like right now. Like right now. You guys, if Holy Spirit just shows up standing out in the alley, handing groceries to somebody, surely Holy Spirit will show up in a gathering of people, you know, who have come together for him and in his name. And I want to pray for you at the end of the service here today. I will invite you to pray to be touched by the Holy Spirit, okay, and to be filled with the Holy Spirit again or for the first time. It doesn't matter. But I also want to say that if there's anybody here who really feels like, no, I need more than that. I need some time with some people to really pray through and receive the Spirit in fullness or to address a particular issue, right? I'm sorry, I got in front of you guys. Or I got behind you. Would you just let us know? And we'll set up an appointment. We'll set up a time, and we'll have you come in. And I would love to be a part of that because I get blessed so much when I see God moving and working in somebody's life. And it's just, I don't know that there's anything better than that, you guys. But we'll get somebody else. We'll come in. We've had Well, Debbie, you and Larry, you guys have prayed for people that we've made appointments for and your ministry and blessing them. And I just want you guys to know that, you know, the modern church, the modern American church, has tried to force all of our Christianity into an hour and a half on Sunday morning. Yeah, this is when it happens, right? So you got to get here, and you got to get prayer ministry. You got to get a teaching. You've got to get exhortation, which are two different things. You've got to get fellowship. You've got to, you know, you've got to get all these things. And it used to be just an hour. I mean, we are, you know, we're really stepping out by going 90 minutes. That's pushing the limits of American culture and patience. You know, you're grateful. Everybody else is saying, quiet, Diana, quiet. Don't encourage it. I always used to be in those places. Now, I'll confess, those places where the preacher goes, oh, my goodness, it's time to quit. And people are going, no, keep going. Oh, don't say that. Don't stop. I honestly, I was like, no, he said enough. There were times when I did want the guy to keep going or the lady. Nancy Schneider, it was always keep going. Yeah, I can see, I'm here all day, Nancy. You just tell me what you know. What was I talking about? We're trying to keep everything in 90 minutes, and that doesn't give me time to just talk. So I got to stop. Okay, but the thing is that Please, let's not say Pentecost happens on one day, and let's not say that all of Christianity and all that we need to do and all that we need to do in terms of ministry has to happen in a 90-minute period or an hour and 15-minute period or whatever it is that we've set, right? Let's start living Christianity all the way through the week, and if you've got something, please, dear ones, if you've got something, I guarantee you that the Holy Spirit can help it. I guarantee you that the Holy Spirit can help it, whether it's a struggle, whether it's a depression, whether it's anxiety, whether it's a healing, you know, whatever it is, the Holy Spirit can touch you, can bless you, can help you. And I want to offer that to you, and I want to ask you to take advantage of that. Call the church office, leave a message, we will get back to you, email us, we will get back to you, and we'll set something up, and we will pray for you. Now, let me talk just a little bit here about some of the things that the Holy Spirit does, the ministries of the Holy Spirit. And to do that, I want to go back to Genesis. The Spirit is in the first chapter of the Bible, and the Spirit is in the last chapter of the Bible. And both of them are significant. But in Genesis, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Now, I want to get this in our minds is a picture of the Holy Spirit, because we've got this picture of the Spirit of God hovering over the waters. And everything, though, the earth was formless and empty, darkness was over the surface of the deep, but the Spirit of God. All right, but the Spirit of God. And some translations have translated that as brooding, hovering, brooding. It can mean shaking or trembling, but the Spirit of God is hovering over this darkness and this emptiness and this formlessness, right? This is one of the very first works of the Holy Spirit. It's to be a part of creation, which we know the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all three are a part of. So right now, I don't want a message to just be information. I want it to be demonstration of what the Holy Spirit can really do. So here's my question related to this. Have you ever felt emptiness? I just feel empty. Have you ever felt that, anybody? A couple of you? Oh, probably most of you. Okay, the hands are going up. Or just like, there's nothing there. There's just, I have nothing. There is nothing. There's just a void. I feel very empty. dear ones, listen, that is when the whole thing gets started with the ministry of the Spirit of God coming to hover over that place of your emptiness, that place of that vacuum, that place of I don't feel like there's anything there. The Holy Spirit hovers over that. And what happens when the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, hovers over that place? Creation, beauty, the mountains, the streams, the lakes, the joy of the Lord, the you know, everything comes out of that. There was nothing in the Spirit but the Spirit of God. Okay, and God said, let it happen. That is a ministry of the Holy Spirit. That is something that the Holy Spirit of God has to offer his people. Let me ask, is there anybody feeling that sense of emptiness this morning? That would be hard for you to say so in front of everyone. I know, but if you did feel that sense of, yeah, I feel like there's nothing there. There's just an emptiness about something in my life. Anybody at all? Anybody? No, nobody. Well, good. Praise God. We don't have that, or we're not feeling like that's something I want to make public, because that would, right, without explaining it. So let me pray in general, okay, for us. Holy Spirit, would you come right now? I sense that there are, and it's just not appropriate for them to say so right now, but there are places of emptiness here in the room. An empty place, a void, a longing. I pray right now, Holy Spirit, would you come and hover over that? Just hover over that place, God. That thought, that longing, that depression or anxiety that comes from that. Just come and hover over that. And I speak and declare life right now over that empty place. I speak and I declare life, hope, beauty, and creation, where something comes forth out of nothing that you could not have anticipated, that you could not have imagined in any way whatsoever, but by the power of the living God and the Spirit of God hovering over you right now. Just let the Holy Spirit hover over that place of emptiness, and I declare and I speak in the name of Jesus, life and creation and blessing and grace and joy in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's look at something else that the Spirit of God does. Holy, holy, holy. 1 Kings 8:10. And when the priests came out of the holy place, the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand there to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. When Azusa Street Revival took place, there was a cloud so thick in the room. And it was a former Methodist church. It was a little old Methodist church that the people had moved somewhere else, and they left it and there. And so, hey, the Spirit of God in a former Methodist church. That has a ring to it. The cloud would fill the services, and the children would play hide and seek in the cloud. It was so thick. And on this day, when they're dedicating the temple, and King Solomon brings all of Israel together, and they're going to have this big dedication. The temple has been built, the place where God will dwell. And they're all there, and the choir's there, and the priests are there. And they come out, and the priests, the heaviness, the chabad, which is the word for the weightiness of God, comes into the temple and puts the priests down. And they can't minister, and they're on their faces, and the cloud fills the place. And that's a ministry of the Holy Spirit. And I want to grasp that, because, you know, too often in Christianity we are always looking for the fun and the good and the, and you know, and the, and we think of the Spirit just stirring us up and hyping us up, right? but the Spirit will put you on your face. I went to Toronto. Do you, Toronto Christian Airport Fellowship? It was a place that 60 Minutes did news on, and there was, you know, because they had holy laughter and they had all these manifestations. And I went up there. I went up there to get holy laughter. I thought, that sounds really awesome, right? I could use some holy laughter. And I went up there, and I was fasting for the whole time that I was up there, and I didn't laugh once. I was on my face weeping. Everybody else was dancing and laughing. And I don't know what's wrong with me, but I was on my face weeping because I was crushed by the realization that in all of my life and ministry, though I feel that I had been a faithful, I felt that I was being faithful to God, I had missed so much. I had missed so much, dear ones. And I some of you will remember perhaps Roberta Perry, some of you will remember maybe Barb. I came back from that and I just shared with the church, I am so sorry. I could start weeping right now. I am so sorry. For as good a pastor as I may have tried to be, I had missed so much. And I just wept. And it was one of the best things that's ever happened to me, dear ones. And I don't want that ministry of the Holy Spirit to get lost. I don't want us to lose the seriousness and the soberness of God. That, right? That He is holy, holy, holy. And when we come into His presence, it won't necessarily mean jump for joy. It may mean fall on your face and weep at how far you are from Him. Yeah. So Holy Spirit, would you come right now? And just let us just in the smallest way, can you let us, or maybe in the greatest way, would you let us feel the weightiness of your holy presence? Holy, holy, holy. And the elders fall upon their faces and throw their crowns upon the glassy sea. And the priests couldn't minister that day. And God, we ask that your Holy Spirit would visit us in this church and in this room and in our lives, that we would remember that when we come to the presence of a holy God, the weightiness of that beauty will be upon us. And help us, God, right now, like every one of us, help us to say in our own hearts, Lord, have your way in me. Do what you need to do. In Jesus' name, amen. In the gospel, according to Luke, an angel comes to a young lady who is engaged to be married and tells her that the Holy Spirit is going to overshadow her. In Luke 1:35, and so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she was said to be barren. And she's 6 months pregnant because nothing's impossible with God. And she said to him, Mary said, I am the Lord's servant. May it be done to me as you have said. And the angel left her. Now here we see the Holy Spirit coming upon someone. Do you know, have you ever noticed that when we talk about Mary, we never talk about, like, you know, God chose her because she was such a good and upright person. She was so holy in her life. You know, there are teachings, maybe, but they're not biblical, not taken from the Bible. And it's just Mary was an ordinary person. And the Holy Spirit came upon her. And when the Holy Spirit came upon her, something comes forth from her that is like, who am I? Why would that happen? Me? That I would be? Right? And I want us to capture what this means for all of us. It means that for all of us, Mary was just an ordinary person. She was Barb, or Vicky, or Herman, or Denise, or Truth. Just an ordinary person sitting in, you know, just walking through her life. But God chose her, and the Holy Spirit came on her and came forth in something so beautiful, so amazing, so wonderful. It was like, God could bring that out of me, right? God could bring that out of me. Now, I acknowledge that in the Roman Catholic teaching, there's the doctrine of the Immaculate Conception, and that was that Mary was born without sin, so that Jesus would have been created in a sinless womb, okay? So that we can therefore figure out that there was no original sin in him, because everybody's born in original sin, but Jesus wouldn't have been because he was sinless, and the only way to do that is if the womb that he was born in had no sin, and so Mary must have been without sin. And the obvious problem with that is that, okay, well, so then where did Mary's womb, like her mom, then we got to keep going back, and it's like it's endless. And I know there's a rationale behind that, but in terms of biblical revelation, it's like that's not there. And it's like, no, she got mad, and, you know, and she did all the other, you know, right? She had all the sin stuff that we have. What it means is that you and me, as ordinary people, have the potential, if the Holy Spirit comes on us, to produce something amazingly beyond anything that has to do with us for God. Like, amazing. Like, incredible. Like, she gave birth to God. And so what could possibly be there for us? Anything. Barb, you have had such a role in our days of dedication with things that God has spoken to you. Ordinary Barb is actually extraordinary Barb. When the Holy Spirit comes on us. You know, Betty, you had the word from God for one of our days of dedication of open the doors. Where'd that come from? Was it because you're so amazingly brilliant, which you are, but was that what caused it? Just the Holy Spirit came on you, spoke a word to the church that God was speaking to me and that God had revealed, right? And that ministers to the whole place. It ministers to the whole place. All of us, you know, right? There's something about so beautiful. If you know, when Jesus sent the disciples out and they went out and they did the stuff, they delivered people from demons and they healed them and they came back and they said, Jesus was caught up by the Holy Spirit in very much jumping joy. That's the Greek word for that, agaliao. It means very much jumping, right? Now, it might have been external, it might have been internal. I don't know, because, you know, people do jump up and down and you don't know it. I will never forget the story of Jared Schilling and Phil Kellenberger. They were fishing, and Phil, who never expresses any emotion about anything, well, that's not true, but almost not. And he had this huge fish on his line that he's pulling in. And Jared is going nuts. Jared's going, no, I can't believe that. He says, Phil, aren't you excited? And Phil's reeling at it, and he goes, are you kidding me? My insides are turning somersaults. And, you know, like he looks calm and collected, but on the inside, things are just flipping around and around and around. It's like, there are people like that, and you may be one of them, where people look at you and go, don't you express emotion? It's like, are you kidding me? My insides are going wacko right now. But Jesus, so whether it was physical and Jesus was actually, I like to see the picture of Jesus on the side of the road jumping up and down. They did it. I saw Satan fall. Woo! Yeah! That's what I like. But he might have been just inside. Either way, he was so excited because these ordinary people did extraordinary things. These ordinary disciples had the spirit that was on Jesus transferred to them. And they operated out of that spirit. Do you know what Jesus feels when ordinary people like Cindy Ann Simmons and Bethany Fig? It's Fig now, isn't it? Yeah. Almost 8 years. It's been 8 years? Wow. When they do something, you know, that is exciting. What? Oh, okay, got it. Father, son-in-law, yeah. It's like, oh my gosh, you guys, this is what gets Jesus excited. When you, Herman, when you and Denise, when you guys go be grandma and grandpa, you're still doing that for RFK?
Yes.
When you guys go out there, God is going to use you. Yes. The Holy Spirit's going to come on you. Yes. You're going to say things and do things and be things for kids that you don't even realize. But Jesus is going to be very much jumping joy up in the heavenly, saying, look, they're doing it, they're doing it, they're doing it, they're doing it, they're doing it. Barb got a word from me. Barb got a word from me, and she spoke it to the church. She let the church know, and the whole church got blessed by it. You guys, did you see that? Did you see Jesus up there jumping up and down? Look, like Barb, Betty, she did it. Woo! Give me a high five, Peter. Yes. This is the ministry of the Holy Spirit, taking Melissa Bowden, and by the Holy Spirit coming on her, producing something beautiful for God on the earth. Isn't that amazing? Lord, we just pray for Melissa. We just ask you, God, that your Holy Spirit will continue to meet her, bless her, fill her, God. We pray for that beautiful thing that that you're speaking over her right now to come forth in her. It already is. We already see the beautiful thing. Amen, church? We already see the beautiful thing that you're bringing out of Melissa, and we just pray, God, more of that, God, more of that. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Yes. Thank you, Diana. Oh, man. Yeah. Okay, so that is, and so as we look into this, and then we see, of course, we see the story goes on, and she goes to Elizabeth. At that time, Mary got ready, this is verse 39, and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea. Okay, she just found out she's pregnant, right? And she's hurrying to a town in the hill country of Judea. I don't know how long it took her, but she's newly pregnant, where she greeted Zechariah's home, entered Zechariah's home, and greeted Elizabeth. Greetings, Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard, greetings, Elizabeth. When she heard that, the baby in her womb, which was John the Baptist, leaped. And Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, listen to this, filled with the Holy Spirit, exclaims, blessed are you among women. She doesn't know anything. She doesn't know an angel came and talked to her. She doesn't know that there was a prophecy saying that you're going to give birth to Jesus. She doesn't know any of this. She knows nothing. All she knows is when the Holy Spirit comes on her, she says this. It comes out of her. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord... This is a fetus. This is a fetus. A week old? 2 weeks old? 3 weeks old? At best? And everything that Jesus is in that fetus. The mother of my Lord. It's not amazing. And it wasn't Elizabeth saying that. It was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came on her, and she recognized her Lord. And John the Baptist jumped up and down. He's here, he's here, he's here. Everything that Jesus was in that fetus. That's amazing. As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby, little Johnny B, for Baptist, womb, leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed is she who believed that everything the Lord said to her would be accomplished. The Holy Spirit in Elizabeth. Look, you guys, the Holy Spirit can come over you at any time, at any place, to speak a truth. The Holy Spirit will speak out of you, and it will speak truth. We've had that happen in this room. We've had people speak things that were just absolutely from the Lord, just so beautiful and so true. I remember Greg Williams years ago. Greg Williams, a very large man. He's 6'5", 6'6", something like that. And he was dying of cancer, and we were praying for his healing, and we were contending. And he did something he'd never done before in church. And right in the middle of worship, he stood up and he said, "Do you not know that what you're doing right now is a reflection of the courts of God? As you worship him, the angels are worshiping in the courts of God along with you." And it was just like, that's all I remember, but there was more. But it was so beautiful and so powerful, and it gripped the whole room. And it was just like the Holy Spirit came on him, and he said, "I don't know why I did that." You did it because the Holy Spirit came on you, and it came out. And it happens like, Roberta, your mom, Margaret Jones, used to say, she wasn't Pentecostal. She wasn't, right? Roberta's like, no. She wasn't Pentecostal, but she used to have for people in the family impressions. And she would say, "I have an impression," right? Did she ever have an impression for you that you remember?
Not that I remember.
No? Okay. Did she have one for the guy you were going to marry? She said, "Oh, I got an impression for you, Perry." But she used to have impressions. That's what she called them. She didn't say, "I have a word" or "I have a prophecy," because she didn't use that language because that wasn't her background. But she had an awesome, awesome, awesome Christian woman. But she used to get these things, and then she would share them. The Holy Spirit will speak, and the Holy Spirit will speak truth, and he'll do it for the whole body through one person. And it's just an ordinary person who's in the right place at the right time that God speaks to. All right. All right, we're going to pray. I could talk for 5 hours and still have stuff I didn't cover on the Holy Spirit. I love the Holy Spirit. I love its ministry. I love following it. But two more verses, and then we'll pray. And that is Paul, when he talks about the Holy Spirit being in us, he calls it the first fruits of the kingdom to come. He calls it a demonstration of God. And he says about it in 1 Corinthians 6:19, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God?" And in 2 Corinthians 4:7, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us."